Hey, this is Rebecca Dirks with PremierGuitar.com. We're here at the Rosemont Theater at the Dream Theater Show, backstage with Maddie, who's John Petrucci's tech, and we're about to check out the gear he's using, starting with the guitars. And he's using his signature Ernie Balls, right?
Yeah, we're using all the JP11s now, except for one guitar. So this is the main JP11, and it's kind of a silver color. I think this was the last prototype before they went into production. So this is the one that he used throughout the entire recording of the album and everything. So
what pickups are in that?
It's the DiMarzio Crunch Lab and Liquifier, the signature set of pickups from DiMarzio. And then it's got the Ernie Ball piezo system in the bridge, which all his guitars come with. So, yeah.
So this is it.
And what string gauges are he?
We're actually using a new custom gauge. He kind of changes around, whenever he feels like it. So it's actually starting high to low. It's 10, 12, 16, 24, 36, 46. And Dudley at Ernie Ball came up with that gauge for himself and said, you guys should try these out. And we did, and he loves them. So kind of, can't really go to the store and buy them off the shelf, but we put them together as we need them, so.
And what is, we had one of our actual readers on Facebook asking, what does he like about the Music Man tremolo versus like a Floyd?
It was, back in the Ibanez days, he used, the Ibanez version of a Floyd, the double locking. And when he went to Ernie Ball, they said, we don't want to do that. Let's do something different. So they came up with that one, and it works every bit as good, and you don't have all the hang-ups of the locking nut and everything like that, so.
Yeah. Let's take a look at some of the other guitars he's using.
Yeah, these three here are all standard tuning, and this is actually a like what you would see in the store, the color, which I believe they call is Black Magic, and it's got that sparkly bit to it. So this is just a regular JP11, and these are all tuned to standard. And then we get into the seven strings, which is, this is the exact same guitar, just with an extra string. Same color, same neck, same everything. So
what gauge is he using on the seven strings?
It's the same as the standard, so except it's got a 56 for the low B. This is a cool one. This is tuned down to D, and this was an experiment that Dudley at Ernie Ball did. And this is actually aluminum, laminated to the top. So he made two of these, which we possess.
Do you find that does anything different to the tone?
It's a tiny bit brighter. But it's a cool guitar. We got this one again while we were in the studio, and he had me tune it down to D for one song, and that's what he recorded with. So
what are you using it on?
Tonight he'll use it on Endless Sacrifice. And then the other D song in the set is Forsaken, depending on what set list we're doing. So same pickups, Crunch Lab, Liquifier. This has got black hardware instead of chrome. And yeah, black headstock instead of the matching color. So yeah, this is a cool guitar, and we have two of these. Dudley made two of them at the same time, so
cool.
We said, yeah, we'll take them. So then the last different one is the baritone, and this is actually the BFR model before we came out with the JP10s and 11s. So it's got the maple top on it, tobacco finish, and it's a longer scale. I believe it's 27 inch. And this is tuned down to A. So, and again, it's a custom gauge set, and without going into the drawer and picking a set out, I couldn't tell you. I think it's like 12 to 64, I think.
How many frets are on that one?
24.
What songs does he use this one for?
He uses this under on These Walls, which is tuned down to A. And that's the only song he uses it on. So I thought I was going to get away without bringing a baritone this time, but too late.
I see an acoustic back there. Does
yeah,
he use that live?
This is a new thing. This is, the guitar's not new, but using it live is new. They're doing a little acoustic set, depending, again, on the set list. So we use this in the studio. It's a Taylor 30th anniversary. It's a 712 CE model. And we just plug it straight into a DI, and that's it. So, and we use Ernie Ball Earthwood light gauge strings on this one.
So is he using the Shure wireless units?
No, everything's a cable. So we run a stereo cable or a tip ring sleeve cable for the electrics, And then back at the rig, which I'll show you in a minute, it splits out between electric and the piezo acoustic signal.
And what kind of cables are they?
Mogami with Neutrik ends. They're all custom made for him by Mark Snyder, who builds all the rigs.
All right, well, let's go check out what it plugs into.
Come on. So you see, we have two identical rigs. We actually have an A system and a B system. When we're going through Europe and South America, we have two sets of gear that flip-flop. So we had the opportunity to bring the B rig out and just kind of really get it dialed in because we don't use it as much. So I've just been setting them up every day, and we'll plug in and go back and forth and make sure the amps are set right and all the effects are happening.
They're identical.
Yeah, they are 100% identical, with the exception of maybe a couple of pedals on top, which, you know, that's kind of a rotating door of stuff.
Try it out and see what you're digging.
I want to try that one today. So, so the signal path is we come in the cable to the Framtone AB box. And as I said before, I've got two outputs on there. One is electric, one is acoustic. The acoustic plugs into a Fishman Aura 16 pedal in the back, and that goes to a DI right out to the PA.
And what's he using in the Aura pedal? Like, what's that?
It's program 13, I think. I don't know what it's called. It's just program. We just kind of swept through him as he was playing. He goes, I like that one. Okay, good.
Set it, forget it.
That was it.
All right.
A 50-50 blend, and the volume's all the way up on the pedal, and that's it. So then the electric side, we come in and we hit the Dunlop wah system first. And then out of there, we actually come up to this little satellite pedal board. And when we first built this rig, we did everything in the box in the AxeFX. And he missed having pedals that he could kind of mess around with. So we went with this. And it's an overdrive pedal, which is the big revolving door. It could be a Tube Screamer. It could be, you know, whoever sends us a cool pedal, and we'll try it out for a while. And, you know, he just kind of, he'll actually have me change it during the show sometimes. So I just walk out here and plug it in. And then a Boss phase shifter, MXR Van Halen flanger, which is a cool pedal. And then we just settled back on the Carl Martin compressor limiter. We were kind of doing a big compressor shootout in rehearsals. And I just called up every company out where we were rehearsing and said, send over every compressor pedal you have and let me try them out. So we, don't like that one. Don't like that one. So
what is it about this one for what he does that worked out?
He's had one of these for a long time, and we used it in the studio a little bit, and he just really likes it. He likes the way it compresses. He likes the attack on it. It's not hugely overbearing. And it just sounds nice to him.
How are you powering the pedal board?
The pedal board is powered off of a Voodoo Lab pedal power. And then the loop system is actually an old Axis GRX4. John's been using the Axis electronic stuff for a long time. And so when we built these, we said, well, we've got some extras laying around because you can't get them anymore. So we put it to use. From the pedal board, we come back into the rig, into the interface. And what this is, it allows me to select between the top amp and the bottom amp. If there's a problem with the top amp, I just throw a couple of switches and we go to the bottom. And it's also the connection point for the pedal board out front. So through the interface, then we hit the input of the Mark V on top. And that's the main tone. We use channel 1 and channel 3 primarily. And it's just, this amp does so many things. And it's just great sounding, you know. I can't come up with more good things to say about it. You know, it's just an awesome amp. So, this particular one is the one we recorded the album with, and it ended up in the rig. And then so, with the amp in the effects loop is actually the AxeFX 2, which we just started using. So we were using the Ultras before. And
this one's new.
Yeah. So actually, when you guys were going to press with the magazine, I was sitting in a warehouse with the guy from Fractal programming this. And the guys from Fractal took all my programs from the Ultra, which is, he only uses one preset. It's all of the effects, you know, just kind of like you would have in any other system, delays, choruses, whatever. And we just turn them on and off. They're set. They don't change. So he programmed everything into the Axe 2. Came out, we put it in the rig, and then sat there and had to kind of go through stuff and tweak things a little bit. So that's it. The Axe 2, the outputs left and right, come into the effects return. The top amp would be the left side, and the bottom amp is the right side. So we get a true stereo thing happening. And I mean, his, you know, his effects chain is just very, very simple. You know, there's a lot of it, everything's in parallel with the main line of it. So there's nothing too crazy going on, you know. So yeah, that's essentially the rig. I've got two Mesa 412 cabinets that sit off stage over here that are mic'd up for the PA.
Okay.
And they're just isolated from everything else, which is good because they're extremely loud.
What are you making the cab with?
We got a pair of 57s, one on each cabinet, and then we use a pair of Shure Ribbon 313s, one on each cabinet. It kind of adds a little bit of low end that gets blended in with the 57s. So, and it's kind of up to the sound guy's discretion what they use and what it sounds like on the day. So, and then the other cool thing, you'll notice here we have this gigantic rack of Crown power amps. And these power the thumpers. So when they went to in-ear monitors, they got rid of the monitor wedges, and John didn't have anything to put his feet up on anymore. So I had these boxes made for him out of diamond plate stainless steel. And last year, 2 years ago, we were in South America, and he was out front, and he put his foot on a front fill monitor from the PA. And he goes, I can feel my guitar. We got it. How can we get that in my footrest? So I went, well, all right, let me see what I can come up with. And ended up taking a couple of butt kicker drivers that like drummers would use on the bottom of their drum throne. And I put one in each box. And you just feed a little bit of the mic signal into that channel. And you can feel the guitar shake.
Oh.
So that was a great idea. So then earlier this year, we were in the studio and he said, I want to be able to feel like back by my cabinets on stage. And I said, okay. So I got Boogie to make me some 212 cabinets, and I put a pair of butt kickers in each one of those. So anywhere he goes in his little area, the guitar is shaking, yeah. So, and then just to clarify for the public, none of these cabinets are plugged in on top. The heads are empty.
So
it's just more, 212s have the kickers, yeah. And then the rest of it's just kind of for show.
Yeah.
You know.
Gotta put on a rack show, right?
Exactly. So,
you wanna talk about the switcher here?
Let's talk about the pedal board. So, as I mentioned earlier, we're using Axis Electronics. So, here's the old trusty FX1. And this gives John complete control over his rig. I've got six preset buttons. One and two are clean, three and four are rhythm, five and six are lead tones. And then all the instant access switches for all the different effects. So, like the chorus, all three delays, the harmonizer are in the AxeFX, and then the flanger, phaser, tube screamer, and compressor are the satellite pedal board. And then he can just kick stuff on and off at random.
That is really beautifully labeled, by the way.
It is. Yeah, actually, I gotta say, Thomas Nordig, Steve Vizetech, made those for me. He made them for Dweezil originally, and I saw Dweezil's pedal board, and I went, hey, Thomas, can you make me some of those? Yeah, sure.
So, does John hit the random switch very often?
Well, the random switch is right now not doing anything. That's for a future endeavor that goes along with the JP chorus button. We're working on some stuff, and I just kind of had the labels made for future use. So, right now those two don't really do anything. But all the other ones, you know, you go to a lead preset, gives them a delay and the solo function on the amp, and that one's a different delay with the tube screamer added in. That one's got chorus, used to have delay, I guess he programmed it out. And then like the clean, and then I think the first one's clean with phaser, yeah. So, and then we got the wah controller for the Dunlop system, Boss TU3 tuner. And the Ernie Ball volume pedal is actually a control pedal for the AxeFX for the volume. Instead of running audio out and back, you know, it's 100 feet of cable that you don't have to run. It's just a control pedal. So, and then we got the little light so he can see the neck of the guitar in the dark. And that's it.
Great. Any other kind of cool, interesting little tricks or things that our readers would want to know about?
Let me think. I don't know. It's kind of like a scientific laboratory some days.
Yeah.
You know, John's always thinking about how to make stuff better. So it'll, you know, he'll say, man, I wish we could do this with you know, what this effect. Okay, well, so we'd sit and try and figure it out and experiment. And, you know, it's always just trying to push the evolution of his playing. So every guitar in his signature line has been an evolution from the very first one up until the JP11 and now the one that we're currently prototyping, which hopefully we'll have a new prototype here pretty soon. The guys from Music Man came out the other day and brought one, and we checked it out and said, okay, let's make some changes. And so now they're kind of redesigning.
Can you talk about any of kind of the things Not that you're
yet.
Working on?
Oh. Not yet.
Oh, come Not on.
Yet. It'll be massive when it comes out. It'll be really, really cool.
Is there any like specific preferences for setting up the guitars, pickup height, action, et cetera?
Yeah, actually. John wants the neck as flat as possible. And then what I do is I use like the little Stumac string action gauge. And I set the action on the guitars. I start at 40/1000ths of an inch off the 12th fret. From the top of the 12th fret to the bottom of the low string is 40/1000ths, and then adjust to the radius from there. And
very specific.
Yeah, it's very specific. You know, it's we kind of equate it to a Formula One race car driver, and the guitar and the amp rig and everything is the car, and I'm the mechanic. And if I don't set the car up quite right, it's not gonna feel quite right. So. You know, it's, I'm doing truss rod adjustments sometimes right up until I hand him a guitar. We used to do it sometimes while he was playing, tried to get away from that now, but, so it's all very, you know, kind of nitpicky stuff, but at the end result is he's able to come out here and play 2 hours the way he does. So
cool. Well, thank you very much for taking some time to show us around John's rig. It was really cool.
Cool.
Thanks. This is Rebecca Dirks for PremierGuitar.com.